Okay, good to see everyone. Tonight we have a last minute special talk and method of practice. It's a modified form of loving kindness, traditional loving kindness meditation, which is a healing meditation. What inspired me to do this is for the past week I've been in Orlando, originally for the annual Buddhist camp there, and then I stayed on for 5 more days with the family. But when I went there, I discovered the true reason why I'm there. And that is to help my friend, my Dharma sister. She is a student of my teacher for a few decades. And she's also the annual organizer for the Buddhist camp. But she's been diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer. So she's in a lot of pain. And so during the camp, I was able to escape and go to the hospital and visit her to help her daily. And after the camp, to continue during the week until they sent her home. I also visited her at home. How many people here knows of people who have cancer? Raise your hand. Oh, a lot. That's a lot. Cancer. There are all kinds of cancer. Her cancer has already spread to the lymph nodes, and there are tumors throughout. Stage 3 and before, usually there's no pain, as far as I know. Stage 4 is a lot of pain. Basically, her albumin level, protein level, is low. Albumin has a function of retaining fluids in your blood vessel. So if that is low, fluids start to seep through your vessels to fill your whole body. Some of the fluid, if it gets to the heart or lung, start to press in. Then you have hard time breathing and so on. So it could be not so good. So I worked with her in the hospital, and all the other methods don't work. Her method that she usually meditate using doesn't work. We use reciting the Buddha's name, it doesn't work. We use mantra, it doesn't work. Except this method, which I created on the spot. Originally, I was intending to guide her through loving kindness, traditional one. But she was just in so much pain. And kind of learning, receiving her energy, her situation, physically and karmically, I modified the loving kindness meditation. And this is the only method that she was able to use without painkillers. Not only relieve her physical pain, she doesn't feel any pain, she actually feel comfortable throughout the body. So it's effective. I don't know how long it will last. She tried to use it in my absence, when I'm not at the hospital. Doesn't work quite well. Only works when I do it with her. So we know that there are other elements in this mix, you know. But I like to share with all of you, so at least you know the method. You can use this when you're sick on yourself. You can try to share with those people with cancer that you know, those people who are sick. But if there's no teacher present practicing, then I recommend having a few practitioners come together to practice with you or with someone who's sick. So collective presence and power of the mind to be there. That's another way to do it. Just some a few words before we begin. There are a lot of books out there on Buddhism now in the West. And a lot of teachers. So in a sense, we're very fortunate in the West. A lot of teachers. Pretty available in every state. Not quite every town, but every state. A teacher is accessible. A Dharma center is accessible. But we're in an infantile stage of transmission of Buddha Dharma in the West. So in this stage, a lot of people writing about Buddhism, incorporating Buddha Dharma into their own works, writings. Intermingling with other spiritual traditions, or just part of a new kind of spiritualism movement. So it can be quite confusing. Now, what is Buddha Dharma? And also in this stage, there are people writing. So it's hard to discern who's who. Many of the books out there, as far as I can see, are basically authors, writers, who writes about spiritualism. You know, good writers who have practice, but their writing does not completely match or congruent with the claims that they're making, the realizations that they have. And many of the writers are just laying out the map, the blueprint to practice, but they are still in the process of practicing it. And writing as an endeavor itself is it's a lot of kind of inter-borrowing of ideas. It's language, it's linguistic, you know. So kind of intermingling of ideas, does not necessarily mean the person has experienced what is said. So first thing I want to say is we should be able to discern writers who write about Buddhism or spiritual practice and practitioners, teachers who are writing. And teachers may not be fancy writers. They may write poorly. But you can see because their writings are not found in, are firmly grounded in Buddha Dharma, but not found in textbook Buddhism. Because what they say is already integrated, utilized, used, and realized. So it's alive. The words are alive, as opposed to regurgitating, repeating what other authors have said. It's very easy. If you read a lot, you can actually tell right away. So, you know, great teachers. The Dalai Lama, his words. When you compare his words with other Tibetan teachers, completely different. They're alive. They have a structure, because Tibetan Buddhism, its teaching is very structured, hierarchized, and organized. But his words are alive. You can see personal experience. You know? Thich Nhat Hanh is another one. You know? Of course, my teacher is another one. Right? You can readily tell. And their words speak to our heart. You know? So we have to discern. The reason I'm saying this is because we are linguistic beings. And our discursive thinking, our perception, irrespective of our emotions and how we feel corporeally, physically, influences us. The degree of our suffering, our anguish, depends on our perception, the way we frame stories, the way we tell narratives to ourselves about this person, that person, this event, my body, my sickness, really shapes us. Unless a person can free himself or herself from these deeply, deeply ingrained stories, habit tendencies that form around discursive thinking, then it doesn't really matter what you read, what you know. When you encounter difficult situations, sickness, death, or dying process, all the Buddha Dharma, all the teachings you learned, out the window. It wouldn't help you. It's just like when you're vexed and you tell yourself, now calm down, relax. Are you able to relax? You can't, right? What's framing your experience, what's defining your life, deeply, deeply ingrained habitual patterns of perception. Unless you're able to free yourself from that. Little problems in life, you can talk your way out of it. Create another story, fabricate another idea. But when you yourself is threatened, out the window. Or even tempted, you know, temptations and so on, right? Out the window. So that is the difference. That is the importance of practice. So I strongly encourage you, don't dabble into spiritual practice like a hobby. Really have to practice deeply. but you have to know the principle of practice. And the first step, as I always say, you know, those of you who come here or who are my students, know, first step is to free yourself from discursive thinking in a simplified space of meditation. How? Have a method, and then when wandering thoughts come, which is by nature discursive, let it go, return to the method. That simple exercise of discerning, beginning to see all the things that's going on here, turning on the light to see that, that's the first step, and then have an anchor to anchor yourself in returning to the method in your practice, settling on your method, not being swayed, pushed left or right, enticed, captivated. That's the first step. That itself is already very difficult, but that's the beginning of Buddha Dharma practice, Chan practice. You don't belittle the simple exercise of sitting here counting your breath or being aware of your breath or whatever method you're using. So it comes in all our discursiveness, kind of deeply ingrained pattern, coming in all shapes and sizes. You know, you're sitting, you feel, maybe this method is not good for me, maybe I should use another method. Don't be tricked. That itself is discursive thinking, vexations, doubt. You see? Don't follow that. Or when you're sitting very well, and you want to keep on sitting. That's greed. You should sit longer. Every time you sit, you had a good experience last week, you want to reproduce that. That's perpetuating the habit tendency. Do you see what I mean? You all follow? All kinds of things. You know, why, frustrated, why have I been having a lot of wandering thoughts? That itself is a wandering thought. Or getting, you know, disappointed in yourself. These are all the narrative stories we build that shape our experiences, that limit us. If you practice Buddha Dharma and you follow these, this would be the same thing as you practicing whatever. Karate or martial arts or fencing or whatever. It's nothing to do with spiritual practice. You're just substituting. Before you're into material things, and now you're into spiritual things. You're still chasing, still grasping, still rejecting, still on the puppet string. We ourselves are the puppet, still on the string. Being pulled left and right by our patterning. Does that make sense? Yeah. So no matter what our method, where the mind is going, bring it back to the method. That will beginning to translate into your daily life. In daily life, when you make choices, when you experience, interact with people, naturally you will start to see the stories and patterns and that shapes this particular experience. And you can actually not follow it. And just see, just to be with the person, just to experience, as opposed to coloring that, filtering this experience with all kinds of clutter. As you begin to free yourself from discursive thinking, deep habit pattern, then they will slowly dissipate, diminish, and the mind will begin to clear up, and there are a whole range of stages of practice, but eventually, most of the time, most of the day, you will not have wandering thoughts. But that itself is not the point of practice, because you're used to being with things, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, being with what is actually happening, as opposed to filtering it with our own proliferation of ideas, which is called prapanka in Buddhism, kind of like the lens that we see through everything. You're used to staying with the methods. And the method is what is happening now in sitting meditation, but as it translates to daily life, it will translate to what is actually happening in the present. Do you see what I'm saying? The method, the nature of method is to bring our mind from past and future, collect it to the present moment. That was thought to translate. So most of the time in waking life, your mind is clear without chatter. It doesn't mean you can't think. Your thinking becomes more freer. Right? When you need it, it's right there for you. It's not cluttered, obstructed by maybe you don't like the person you're talking to. It's not cluttered by your own kind of feelings and deep patterns and all these stories. It's just there. You see? So it's actually better. Yeah. So it's not like becoming a stoic, having no feelings and no thinking, like blank mind. That's not the point. So more and more you become aligned with how things actually are. And things begin to come alive. People begin to come alive. You begin to connect with them. Right? And begin to be able to see things in a more spacious, open, receptive way, which is in alignment with emptiness, interconnectedness, right? Or dependent origination, causes and conditions, as opposed to filtering through your own self-referential ideas. You see, as the self begin to diminish, you start to see. Well, this may not be a good analogy, but maybe other-centered, right? Or situation-centered, as opposed to, you know, all of your choices and observations and experiences evolve around the kind of your own patterns. Does that make sense? Your own stories of things. See? So more and more you begin to be aligned with nature of reality. Sounds like a fancy term, but basically it just means, there's a lot of fancy terms, right? Seeing self-nature, emptiness, or compassion, or wisdom, That's basically, right? Then maybe a chance when the causes and conditions are ripe. Self-attachment, self-referentiality. And a footnote here, self-attachment, self-referentiality does not mean you become necessarily, self-effacing, you have no personality, you have no view. No. A person who's humble can have very strong attachment to the self. A person who's kind of low self-esteem can have a stronger sense of self. So Buddha Dharma does not Buddhist Dharma is the word selflessness does not or kind of unselfish does not equate the Western notion of unselfish. Okay? It simply means self-referential or a thinking, behaving that's evolved around vexations. Having, not having, gaining, losing, wanting, not wanting. See, all that evolves around an assumed self-grasping, me, mine. Right? So a storyline of, I'm not good at this, I'm no good, I can't do anything, I can't accomplish anything. That's actually a very strong sense of self. See, so that's the footnote part. The more and more as that diminishes, we start to see what is actually happening, and then maybe there will be some good fortune through your own merit, your own practice. You will see yourself nature and see for the first time the illusion of vexations of the self. You experience freedom, and then you will resort back to being selfish again. And then you gotta continue practice, right? So, but it's like a piece of paper. You know, the piece of paper, one time you have poked a hole through it, the paper will be weak. You can poke through it again through your hard practice, or the fabric, you know, becomes weak to the point that you can't sew back anymore. You can't glue back anymore. You can't use scotch tape back anymore. It's just shattered in pieces. Then our full potential of wisdom and compassion fully manifest. And wisdom is just freedom. Compassion is the expression of that freedom. It's not two separate things. It's not even two wings of a bird. It's the same thing. Okay? So I want to give this prelude so we understand my second point, which is the importance of practice. Nothing will substitute it. You can't read more books about it. You can't write. You can't think through it. Unless you go through this path of practice, transforming yourself, diminishing self-referentiality. And you can't will it to happen either. I'm going to be selfless, selfless, selfless. You can't do it. You have to come at it through using a method. You have to turn on the light. See how much traffic flows in your head, how much stories line we create about ourselves, about our family, about our bodies, about your own image, all that. And let go. Come back to the method. Again and again and again and again. Develop strong concentration, strong awareness, mindfulness, so that mind begin to overpower, maybe a strong word, but mind over matter. You have to. That can't come from reading. Right. What do I mean by that? Why is it important? That's my third point. And that is, at your deathbed, or when situations really need it, crucial situations, you will bring forth what you have cultivated, the presence of your own mind, the power of your mind, to overcome physical difficulties, family problems, overcome your patterns. Otherwise, you're like a puppet. You understand? Have to practice. And if you don't, like when my teacher, when he passed away, excruciating pain. Did he moan and groan and body light as a feather, mind clear as an autumn pond, clear. Why? Samadhi power. What is samadhi power? S-A-M-D-H-I, samadhi, the presence of mind. That can only come about through practice. It doesn't come from reading. You see? It doesn't come from thinking. You can't think through it. From cultivation of mind. The ability, the potential of your mind to harness power of concentration and mindfulness, awareness to cut through all kinds of stories, all kinds of discursive thinking. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Doesn't come. So if you have cultivated this, when you need it, you can use it on yourself. Or you can use it to help other people. Other people will feel it. You can even use it to help your pet. It doesn't have to be human beings. Your presence of mind will influence animals. Do you believe it? Yeah, so. And the lack of self-referentiality, even animals, like birds, will sense it. Birds will not be afraid of you. You know, fly right by you. Because you have no greed, hatred, ignorance. You see? So, three points. That's my prelude. And what all these three points come down to is, please practice. Please practice. Okay. Now this is a what I'm gonna do tonight is to guide all of you through relaxation. All you have to do is just listen. Listen to the voice, and you assimilate yourself, integrate yourself with the voice, and actually practice it. Right? Our minds will connect, and we'll realize the communal presence of our minds put together. First, relax. Then, we will, all of you, each and every one of you, will think up an event that's happy, that was happy. Right? Maybe your childhood memory, we utilize our memory. Okay? So every time memory is generated, our brain will simulate the stored neurological pattern. And when neurologically we are in that pattern, your body will be influenced. Why? Serotonin will flush down through your body. Chemicals. So this is not all purely a mental thing. It's physical too. When you recall a memory that's pleasant, happy, content, stay with that, resonate with that for a few minutes so that we get the body going chemically. Once the body is relaxed, you have to be relaxed to do that. You know, relaxed and you're joyful. It doesn't really matter what memory you have. Then we redirect our mindfulness to loving kindness. And I will incorporate a visualizing method, visualizing light, to dissolve all your bodily discomfort. You or your friend's cancer cells, negative cells, illnesses, visualize it dissolving into light. Allow that light to merge with joy, presence, love. And then we go through the stages. Physical discomfort too, pain sitting or something, knee problems, ankle, back, foot, dissolve, visualize it into the presence of light. And this light is a light of love for ourselves. Right. Utilizing our memory, segue into loving kindness. Does that make sense? So that's basically what I'm going to do. Okay? Would you all like to try it? Make yourself comfortable. Make yourself comfortable. You can put your hands on your knees. If you wear glasses or there's anything tight on your body, watches, belt, you can loosen them or remove them. Relax. First, generally just, you know, being aware of yourself in this room. You're sitting here. And from awareness of this room, bring it back to your body, sitting being aware of your sitting here, relaxingly, content. Systematically, relax the body section by section, beginning at the crown of your head. If you cannot hear my voice, you can raise your hand so I can speak up. Okay. At the top of your head, bring your awareness there and relax, trickling down your awareness like liquid or yogurt or milk. Pouring from the crown of the head, slowly coming down, and now it's at the forehead area. So make sure the forehead is relaxed. The space between your eyebrows, relaxed. Now, how to relax the eyebrows? You raise your eyebrows up and let them drop. Let them relax. Raise it up. Let them relax. Familiarize yourself. Do this several times. Familiarize yourself what it feels like to relax that area of the body. And next, your eyes relaxed. You can close your eyes. But close your eyes, you don't see darkness or black. If you see darkness or black, that means you're still using your eyes. You don't use your eyes. That's how to relax. How do we not use our eyes? Treat your eyes like two muscles, two muscle balls in your face, just like any other muscle. Just relax them. Meaning, you can't see. Relax these muscles. Draw your awareness instead to the sensation of being relaxed there. There's a felt sensation there. And moving down, facial muscles, your cheeks. To relax your cheeks, your lips, teeth closed, chin tucked in, mouth, the corners of your mouth, gentle smile, or beginning of a smile. Relax. Relax. Now check your face, the front part. Is it relaxed? Relax it. Eyeballs, space between your eyes, your cheeks, lips, your jaw. It's okay if your teeth are not closed completely, just relax them. Put your chin tucked in a little bit. Now go to the sides of the head, flowing down from the crown. From the crown, it's like liquid flowing down sides to your temples. And then to the back of the cranium. Relax. Each follicle of your hair, each pore of your skin on your scalp. Relax. Even if you don't know what it feels like, what it means to relax each follicle of your skin, visualize. Just relax. All the pores open up. Clarity, openness. The water trickles down to your neck. This water is like, it's like sitting in a bathtub full of water, and you unplug the plug, so the water slowly descend, go down, And as it goes down, that's the part of the body you relax. You could do that if you want, or you can just listen to my voice. So down the neck, into the two shoulders, relax. Shoulders are typically very tense. So in order to ensure they're relaxed, raise your shoulders up and let them drop naturally. Do this a few times. Familiarize yourself with what it feels like to relax your shoulders. The muscles, the skin, the contact points of your shoulders, your skin to the shirt that you're wearing. Relax. Sensations of relaxing. Relax your arms, both arms, relax down, biceps, triceps, elbows. You move your elbows a little bit just to make sure your arms are relaxed. Your forearm, your wrists, your hands, and then feel the palm, your palms on your knees. Feel the warmth there, relaxing. Your fingertips relaxing. Stay with the sensations, the actual felt sensation. Now the two arms, check. Are they relaxed? Now the chest. Feel the very subtle rise and fall of your chest in accordance to your breath. Feel the sensations. You can use your exhalation to relax the upper chest. And then slowly flow down to your abdomen. Upper, middle, and lower abdomen. Feel the rise and fall of the stomach. Breath slowing down. Relaxing. Now check the front part of the body. Is it relaxed? Now let's go to the back. Begin at the base of the cranium, top of the neck. Flow down through sensations, relaxing your neck, your shoulders, back of the shoulder blades, relax. Move your shoulders a little bit if you like. And then mid-back. Through sensations. And then small the back, lower back. Relax. Very joyful, content, savoring this relaxing sensation. Now feel your bottom, the buttocks contact
with the cushion or your seat. Relax. Naturally, you feel a sense of weight there, the upper body, a sense of weight. Allow that weight to sink down through your seat into the ground, to earth. All the pressure, all the tension, leaving your body light, clear, like a feather, like a cloud. As if there, as if not there. Make sure your body is centered. Very, very gently find the center point of your body. Just make sure you're straight. Sway your body left and right and front and back. Just to find the center. Very gentle movements. Once you find it, sink down. Let the weight settle down. And then move on to the next section. Your hips, relax. Your thighs, relax. Your knees. Ankles. Your small leg, your knees, all the way down through your small leg to your ankles. And then to your feet. And to the base, the soles of your feet, relax, including your toes. The presence of your body relaxing, stable, rooted. Feel the connection to the ground, the earth that you sit on. All the bodily tension, all the stress, all the sense of weight sink down to earth. Leaving your body upright, yet stable. Stable, but light. Stay here for a moment, feeling the relaxed sensation. I'll come back to that gentle smile at the corners of your mouth, almost breaking into a smile. Now bring forth a memory, an event. It could be a long time ago. You may be happy only when you were a child. It's okay. Or something recent. Bring back that happy feeling, contentment, joy. Merge this joy and sensation together with your physical body, the relaxed sensation. Allow this joy to saturate through your whole body, each and every cell of your body, every pore, joyous, happy, content. If you have an area of your body that is painful, That's sick. Allow the joy, the happy feeling, and the relaxed physical sensation to merge into the source of light right there when you need it. If you don't have a body part that's painful or sick, just bring it to your upper abdomen or your abdomen area. See the light there. It's a light of joy, a light of love, happy, relax. This light is not strong, but it is soft, like the moonlight. In fact, you can see the disk of the moon there. It's a full moon, a round light disk. Unlike the moon, there are no dark patches. It's complete light, soft, bright, gentle. Dissolving away, perhaps cancer cell, negative illness. You see them as dark spots, dark patches, dissolving into the light. At the same time, please repeat after me the following phrases. I'm safe. I'm safe in this light. I'm healthy. In this light, and see this light expanding and dissolving away all the negativities. Now see this light extending through your two legs. Your two legs are beginning to be light. Your legs are made up of light. Your body is beginning to become a body made up of light, extending through your thighs, knees, small leg, calves, and feet. And from that source of light, soft and happy, extend out upward, extending through your chest. Bright, warm light, your arms, up your neck, your head. You are being of the light of love. enjoy. You're healthy. No defilements, no stains in any part of the body. Every dark spot dissolving, every negative cell, cancerous cell dissolving into the warm, joyful, loving light. Body of being, body of light. Next phrase. I'm happy, joyful. Please repeat to yourself. I'm happy and joyful. In this light, gentle smile, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. Love saturating throughout the body, merging with the relaxing, warm, soft light. Body of light. Do it one more time. I am safe, stable in this light. I'm healthy and strong in this light. Joyful, happy. Dissolving all darkness, stains and dark spots throughout my body. I'm at peace. Love. See this light of being, body of light sitting here. The borders of this body start to fade. The light begin to extend to your environment. Actually, everything is light. Everything. Embodies this energy of love. Simply just be here, relaxed in this light. You don't have to visualize all this, but you could if you want. Ground yourself in your physical sensation of relaxing, comfortable joy, your physical feeling. That's the ground. Again, I'm safe and stable in light. I'm healthy and strong. All cancer cells dissolving in this body of light. I'm joyful, happy. I'm at peace. There's absolutely nothing in the world worth attaching, worth our worries, our vexations. Everything is well. If you need to adjust your posture, make it comfortable, do so very gently and softly. Do not disturb others. Just extend out the legs, make yourself comfortable. Don't lose this relaxed sensation, your contemplation. Safe, healthy, joyful, at peace, in love, in light. You can do one more round by yourself. Safe, stable, healthy, joyful, and at peace, in love, light. Any uncomfortable area, do not label them, do not give words, do not identify. They are simply one small area in the body of light. It's like a piece of cloud, a small cloud in the sky, open. Expansive. The cloud doesn't bother. doesn't obstruct. Joyful in this light, dissolving away all the cancer cells. All the negativities, the blockages in your head region, all the dark spots dissolve in your throat, in your chest, in your abdomen, your whole body radiating. Slowly come out of meditation, move your hands a little bit, and then slowly move your body, sway your body left and right, and join your palms. And then you can make a wish. You can dedicate the merit from your practice to yourself, to those that you love. May all beings be well, free from illness, healthy. May they reach awakening. Okay, thank you. Please turn on the light. Massage your body. Massage your body. Muscle squeeze, joints rub. Okay, when you're ready, you can look this way. you need to adjust your seat so you can see. That's fine. We didn't really take a break tonight. From the beginning, you all sat for over an hour. An hour and 15 minutes. Painful? Any physical pain, discomfort? In the light? Let that dissolve in the light. Okay. There's actually nothing in the world worth attaching to. Worth our vexations. We have never lost anyone. Detachment does not mean being a stoic, not caring. Detachment means non-possessing, great care, great love. And there's nothing that has to be done. By you. In other words, you are replaceable. Sometimes when we are very sick, we think, oh, I didn't finish this, I didn't do this. Everyone's replaceable. The whole world will go on fine. That's the reality. Everyone have their own life to live. Lessons to learn. And our purpose is to love. It's compassion. Care for yourself, care for those around you. And in this caring, in this loving, no possession. Obsession. That is in alignment with wisdom. Right? So wisdom, compassion together. Of course, Buddhism say that all things are empty. Yes, it's true. That's the wisdom part. But human beings are different than the floor or cushion or rocks and chairs. And right? When human beings become awakened, compassion manifests because we feel. That's the natural expression of non-attachment. It's compassion, non-possessing, non-obsession. Okay? Nothing to attach to, nothing to possess, nothing. The storylines that we create, the narratives that we build, constricts, restricts this natural flow of love and compassion. Right? Reifying into, I only love this person, or that person, or this and that. See, it's like building walls in space. We're the one putting up walls. When the walls are down, there's just a free flow of wisdom. And compassion, the natural. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. How was your sitting? Able to use the method? No? It's all good. It's okay. Yeah? Are you able to relax at least? Relax a little bit, then it's good. Able to relax. Three main areas: your eyes region, shoulders, and abdomen.
These three, once these three are relaxed, you have to practice. And some of you who are new, we're used to be in tension, right? Tense. So you have to cultivate, practice to relax, right? To relax. Focus on these three areas, relax. And then the rest of the body, the rest of your muscle groups will be able to relax. And your sense of presence, sense of weight will sink down. And then other things will be able to open up. When we are tense, our mind is closed, right? But most people's mind follows the body, follows matter, right? The body is feeling sick, the mind becomes agitated, right? Whatever you've learned, books, is just out the window, right? So you have to come at it through the body. Learn to relax the body under all situations. Learn to cultivate a relaxed body. So most of the time your body is relaxed. And then your mind the mind's constraints, tension will start to free up. Then your potential will start to manifest. Does that make sense? Right. So come at it through the body first, because mind is too difficult. You can't tell yourself to, because all we know is language. We tell ourselves more concepts, it doesn't work. Right? The more books you read, it doesn't really work. It works on small problems, but not really strong problems in our life. So come at it through the body, corporeally, physically. Most of the time your body's relaxed, and you'll be more receptive naturally. Right. How many of you, were all of you able to generate a good, pleasant, joyful memory? No? In case you can't, it's best to have a concrete memory. Right? But in case you can't, and imagine one, maybe you can do too. Just imagine yourself sitting in a jacuzzi, right? And it's an outdoor one. So you're overlooking distant mountains and the waterfalls on the left, and you just enjoy. As long as you feel happy in the moment, your serotonin will flush down to your body. That's what we want. You understand? It doesn't really matter what the memory is. You're joyful, happy. And then physically you start to feel that segue into contemplation. In our mind, you can't really say, well, rationally think through, how does it merge with light? How does it merge with feeling of relax? You can do it. You can do it. It's not so bifurcated. Mind and body is not so separate. If you think through, it doesn't work rationally. But if you feel, ground yourself in a relaxed sensation, feeling joy and light. You know, cervical cancer is basically down here, for example. For example, a person, cervical cancer, light emanating from there. All the tumors, cancer cells, completely dissolving away. In the meantime, still connected to your feeling, physical feeling of relaxing and joy. Then you'll be able to merge. So you can do it. And then, body of light, being. If you need a reference point for how to exactly visualize that, then you can look at the, you can watch the movie Matrix. Remember Neo? The body of like, just like light, digital, kind of like that if you want. So the whole body, light, just complete light. That will help you. But always have a string connected to your physical sensation of relaxing. So, and then your mind will merge the new neurological pattern of your mind from your happy memory, merge to your physical sensation. Your physical body will give out, send messages back to your brain, and will reintegrate into a new neurological pattern as you practice. You can't think through it. Your body automatically does this. Your body, like dissolving.
that will help you. Okay, so how many of you found that method helpful, useful, or you're able to use it? Please raise your hand. Okay, a little bit more than half. Okay, a lot of difficulty. Raise your hand. Okay, a few. Okay, that's fine. The first step is we don't create a neurological pattern of this is difficult, a narrative associated with this practice. Don't formulate that. See, I feel relaxed. At least I'm able to relax some. Rarely do, which is good. So please deposit in your memory bank that pattern, okay? And then you just have to practice. Okay. Now, any questions? How many of you like the method? Okay. The more you have practice, the more you have practiced relaxing, like our foundation in our tradition of meditation, doesn't matter what method you use, is relaxing, as most of you know. So the more you practice this, the more you'll be able to integrate whatever method you're using. Meditation on the breath, counting the breath, silent illumination. Gong An, Hua Tou. Although that needs special instructions on how to do that. You can't be too happy meditating on your Hua Tou or Gong An. But there's a way to do it. And there's a way to do it. So whatever method you use, you can practice this. See, this practice cuts through all the things that we read and stuff. This is direct physical. My emphasis is on tapping into directly your physical sensation of relaxing. So you're not in the realm of abstraction. Okay, your contemplation is merged with, it has a physical component, a relaxing component to it. Okay? So it's very important. The more you're able to develop concentration in your ordinary method of practice that you do daily, the more you'll be able to be successful in doing this. Right. But there is that aspect of different karmic dispositions of people. You know, some people really resonate with the method, others maybe not so much. Right. But either way, you cultivate it and you strengthen it. Okay. Yes.
I was able to see the light in the part of the body that I was focusing on. But that by itself was actually very sort of elicited a sense of well-being. But I didn't really, I couldn't really see things dissolving or feel things dissolving.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Some people are not so visual, you know, they can't, but just knowing is sufficient. Knowing that the tumor, cancer, negativity, sickness in your body is dissolving, just knowing that. Like, how many of you know, how many of you use the method of counting your breath? Raise your hand. Oh, a lot. Thank you. The point of that method is knowing. Staying with the presence of knowing what number. It's really not you'd have to see it, hear it. It's really not. It's just sense of knowing. Like now you know you are sitting here. You have a physical experiencing moment to moment of sitting. It's just a sense of knowing. Same quality. The sense of knowing that it's all good. It's all well. Obscuration, not dissolving. That's sufficient.
If you can visualize it, great. If you cannot, it's also good. Okay? Staying with a sense of well-being, just knowing is sufficient. Okay, you don't have to feel that. You can't visualize the dark spots dissolving, you're not doing it right. It's very flexible, this method. Okay, just knowing is sufficient. The point is to rest in that body of light. And this light is merged with love, joy that you feel, that you generated. You see? Well-being, sense of well-being, sense of. This will clear away obscurations, difficulty with the body. Stay with that knowing. Okay? Any other questions? No? Thank you for coming. Louise? Please.
When you have close people, if you have people you know, for example, learned last week a friend of mine developed cancer, not here.
Yeah.
How can you, in this method, can you help him somehow?
You visualize this person before you. And see this person before you, and this is the component of loving kindness. You know, traditional loving kindness, you generate yourself, benefactor, family, neutral person, all the way to difficult people. Right? You actually see the person's face, maybe including the shoulders, the bust, smiling. Your memory, your concrete memory of this person, and you generate this. You generate your own presence, joy, and love, merge with your own light, and you expand it to this person. And that's what I was doing with all of you. And then I narrow in on my friend. We don't have to think about, oh, but my mind is contained in this shell here. How can I go there? Actually, your mind is not contained in the shell. If you think of someone, you'll be there. And that person, if the presence of your mind is strong enough, the person will feel it. You'll be able to make a connection. You have to develop concentration. And this, no book knowledge would help you to do that. You have to practice it. You have to practice it. People at a distance. But they have to be real people. If it's an imagined person, they won't feel it. Or if the person has passed on, passed on, won't be able to feel it. Right. That's like writing a letter to an empty address and mailing it. There's no receiver, you see? The person's already passed on. So the person has to be alive. Now, if a person has passed on, you can generally transfer merit, your practice, energy to this person, wherever the person may be, but generally. Yeah. Does that make sense? Good question. Yeah. Follow-up question?
Yeah, the next question is, I guess, for that to have a real effect, you should realize this exercise several times. Or many times.
You should practice it. Practice it.
On behalf of a particular person.
Mm-hmm. The more you practice, the better you will become. But you have to be yourself relaxed and happy. You know, so you first practice on yourself. If you cannot endure for long, you go for quantity. You go for quality, not quantity. Short sessions. But sometimes people need a certain duration of time in order to relax, in order to put themselves in that frame of mind. So you can't be too sure, like 4 minutes, five minutes, too sure. You're still stressed out and you're sending stress to your friend. You know, so you gotta kind of bring yourself to a good frame of mind. You gotta practice. And then the longer you can extend, the more you practice, the longer you extend, and the stronger the presence of your mind can send. You don't have to feel, well, I usually don't practice method. Should I change my method now? No. Use your method that you usually use. Develop concentration, mindfulness. Right? And we need to use it. It's not like the mind that you cultivate is not tied to a particular method. It's your mind. When you want to use it to do your work, your job, directed to homework, those of you who are young, you develop it. You can use it. See? So you just redirect to this method. As long as you understand it, this method, how to use it, just use the method for that session. Right? Especially when you find your friend is in need of help, you use that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, thank you for asking. Any other question? One last one. Okay. The practice. It's good to see some old faces. People I haven't seen in a long time. And new faces. May all of you be well, happy, free from any kind of difficulty. The more you practice, you can benefit yourself and benefit others. You can practice for the benefit of others. Okay, thank you.